discuss while staff are working on it. Mr. Allison, does it matter whether we refer it to you, or I'm thinking there's an ability for some more public input while you're working on it.
Thank you, Worship. It probably doesn't matter if it's referred to us at this point. Staff are working on some of the background information. We expect that this will be referred to staff, and there will be an expectation that council will be briefed on all of these matters. If there's something specifically that you'd like, we can take direction on that. But resolutions 2, 3, 4, and certainly 5 that came from the COLOCA board are matters that staff are already looking into, and we're preparing to bring a report back to council. If there's something you need in the nearer term, we'll take direction on that.
Okay, Councilor Trail.
Okay, so I'm just going to withdraw the motion. If Councilor Neal wants to bring one forward regarding a referral, I'll give him the floor.
Referral back to staff, Councilor Neal.
Well, I just so. Like, for example, I'm looking at paragraph 3 of this resolution that talks about...
Okay, so hang on one second, Councilor Trail. You're seconding the referral?
I'm assuming this is to come back for...
Yeah, to come back at a general government... I'm not sure if it's next general government committee meeting or when staff wanted this to... everybody to show up here to...
Well, if I could be clear, the report from staff definitely will not be the next GGC meeting. It'll, in a very optimistic sense, be before the summer recess to deal with these issues. They're quite complex. Depending on the timing of how things want to be processed. In my conversation with some of the residents, I know they feel quite strongly about some of these resolutions and wanted the opportunity to speak to council to say, this isn't quite what they were hoping to see council do. There's some changes that were made to the staff report at COLOCA, and you've referenced resolution 3. And that was one of the ones that was changed as a result of discussion on the floor at the board meeting that I believe Councillor Hooper was chairing. I don't want to speak for the residents because they're not here, but I believe their hope was to speak to this resolution before, so as to inform the process going forward. Not necessarily to shape it, but to indicate what their concerns are with several of the recommendations, including the one you've identified.
Well, from a personal standpoint, Mr. Chair, I'd rather have that input along with the staff report at the same time. I don't see the point of hearing from all the residents and then have staff come back with something after that. So I'd like that personally just to work in conjunction or in tandem. So if that's possible to, I don't know if our rules allow someone to do a delegation when it's not on the agenda. I think there is, right? So.
If we're not, if there's no item on the, no item on the agenda. I thought we need something on the committee. So Councillor Neal, so if the residents want to come in and speak to the issue at committee, they can.
Okay, so I would give you a motion to refer this to, the first general government meeting in June, how's that, of 2019, for staff to report back on paragraphs 3, 4, and 5.
Well, I suspect
of this resolution.
I think they're going to report on the entire thing. Okay.
With respect, Your Worship, that's a great direction. I would just add 2 to that. In my mind, we're looking at... There's links between 2 and 5, so it'd be resolutions 2, 3, 4, and 5 that we would report back on. If I could request not the first meeting in June, but before the summer recess, there's a lot of work involved in getting back to council on these positions. It might not be obvious, but there's an awful lot of background work that has to be undertaken. I see Ms. Burke in the audience. She's nodding her head up and down. She's going to play a big role in that.
That would be June 10th.
17th. So that would be the 17th.
I'm looking at Ms. Burke right now. She's not looking back at me. She's nodding her head.
All right, Councillor Trail, you seconded that. Questions, comments? Call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Thank you. 9.8 is the request from Newcastle BIA for additional funds. There was a memo sent out. Councillor Jouart, do you have a motion for that?
Yeah, that we approve it.
I think the recommendation was that we couldn't, but that staff talk with the BIA about advancing. Here, let's ask Mr. Pinn. Mr. Pinn, help us out here.
Through the chair, the recommendation from staff in consultation with the Newcastle BIA, they don't have any specific programs in mind for this fund, and this fund was originally established mainly for to provide funding for capital projects for beautification and whatnot in the BIA. The municipality does provide advances to Bowmanville BIA as a matter of course, if needed, and in consultation with the treasurer of the Newcastle BIA, the funds were mainly just to kind of get them over the bills going out for the Santa Claus parade and all their Christmas stuff, and when the check comes in from the levy in February or March. So we can easily do an advance, and that would ensure that the funds are still held in reserve and earning interest for the benefit of the BIA at a higher interest rate than what they would in their operating account.
So you've talked to the Newcastle BIA about that, just advancing the money?
Through the chair, I spoke to the treasurer on Friday, or sorry, not Friday, the whatever day this came out, on the 2nd.
And they're okay with that?
She understood and she was okay with it. I can't speak for the board, but I did speak to the treasurer.
Thank you.
Okay, so councillor, if you look at the screen, there's the recommendation is up there. So I'm assuming you're moving and councillor Anderson is seconding. That council deny the request of providing $10,000 from the BIA reserve fund going to the Newcastle BIA for unspecified cash flow needs, and staff be directed to work with the Newcastle BIA to provide the option for an advance of the annual levy.
That's correct.
All right. Councillor Anderson, seconding
yes,
that?
Yes, that's fine.
Questions or comments? Call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. 9.9 is a letter from the Clarendon Board of Trade, and that's with regards to EGD-009-19, servicing of industrial lands. If I could have a motion, Councillor Neal.
Motion referred to the consideration of the report.
Okay, that's EGD-009-19, seconded by Councillor Hooper. Questions or comments? Call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Might I suggest a 10-minute break before we get into the presentations and the rest of the agendas in order? Councillor Neal, seconded by Councillor Jones. All in support? Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Back to order, please. So we're in section 10. Mr. Ron Albright has a presentation to us with regards to EGD-009-19. Mr. Albright, before you get going, we've got five different business owners who have got their own money. I wonder if it's worthwhile introducing them so we know who our audience is, who our audience is today. So these folks have a vested interest and
actually, if I could get Bonnie or Sheila
sure,
to do
sorry
that,
to put you on the spot that way, but Bonnie or Sheila, would you introduce our guests?
Sure. This is Brian from RLM Manufacturing, Mim and Arthur Capon from the AWC company. We have Levy and Fred Wiesenthal from PI Tool. We have Adam Davies from Davies Truck Sales, and we have Mike from Dytech.
Great, thank you. And to all of you, thank you. Thank you for what you've done with us. Mr. Albright, you're up.
Thank you, Mayor and members of Council. I'm here to provide a presentation in support of report EGD-009-19, which speaks to Clarendon and the region's cooperation with the area residents to bring municipal water and sanitary sewer services to Curtis Court. So why, after 40-some years, is servicing now possible in the Curtis Court area? The region of Durham has planned a trunk sewer project which will service a majority of southeast Curtis, as well as Oshawa, and eventually parts of Brooklyn. This is a large project and has taken considerable amount of time, and there was a bit of delay, but now the portion which provides a receiving location for the sanitary sewer and water has been installed past Curtis Court, hence there's an opportunity to provide a connection. Initially, almost roughly 2 years ago, we met with the area businesses to describe exactly what this project meant, and many of them were quite surprised to find out that it didn't include local services. So we work with the region and CBOT ourselves and the businesses to kind of work through what was required to get the servicing in place. Through this, there was an understanding of what was required, and that it didn't come with the package of trunk sewer that went through, that it was on the landowners to bring those local services to the area. So what these services, the trunk sewer service consists of, is a large diameter trunk and a water main that runs essentially up the pink line and the blue line on the map, and it runs up Progress Drive and then along Baseline Road. It didn't provide any local services along Curtis Court. Hence, the dark blue line and the red line is what's required to service the lots that front Curtis Court. So we explained what that meant to each of the businesses there, and provided some high-level costing to give them an idea of what would be required to move that project forward. So this is just a breakdown of the properties impacted for the water servicing. It's a little bit different just because of the way that the region service Progress Drive. Those lots that front Progress Drive are able to get water that in that location, but all the other lots require a local service. And similarly, everything that fronts Curtis Court will require a sanitary service along Curtis Court. Funding the works. So this is a little bit different than a normal greenfield situation where you'll have developer ABC who's on his own developing the property. He'll have a subdivision laid out with 17 or 20 lots or whatever, and he'll service it, he'll enter into his agreement with the region, service the lands, and then sell off the lots one by one and recover his costs accordingly. We don't have that situation here, as Mr. Biesenthal noted, that just over 40 years ago, this subdivision was established and many businesses have already moved in, so now you're dealing with individual landowners and businesses. So it's not the same sort of dynamic that where you have one person you're dealing with and it's an easy business decision for that one person to move forward. So it's a little bit more difficult when you have an established business. You've already put money in the ground for private septic and private wells. So we worked through, when we first met with them, we worked through the options that were available at the time, one being a petition process, which the region office offers through their offices, which requires 67% of 50% of the assessed land value. And at the initial stages of this, it wasn't quite clear that they'd have the support. So it was delayed a little bit as we talked through the other options that were available. The other thing that's a little bit different in this case is there's businesses that are ready to go today. The petition process takes a little bit of time as it needs to go through its due course and then get onto the Region of Durham's capital budget program and needs to be prioritized so that it happens in the following year. So as there's businesses that are ready to go today, We looked at some other options that might be able to move this forward. Normal, under, again, kind of the one developer option, it's completely funded by themselves and they move forward. There's been other instances where a landowner group may come together and knowing the benefit of the services coming into their area, come together and do the same thing as the one owner, but again, it's a little bit more difficult for these owners who've already invested in their, in kind of what they consider their own services now. So we work with the Region of Durham and CBOT and ourselves to come up with another modified version where we're looking to leverage the Economic Reserve Fund to help the landowners. One of the big hurdles in servicing the area was the region, in addition to having to pay for the works, the region also requires you to put up an equivalent amount of securities. So in this case, it's roughly $1.5 million worth of sanitary and water work. They would require roughly, or exactly $1.5 million in securities. So coming up with that additional security was a bit of a challenge for the businesses that are there and those that are wanting to come forward. So we work with the Region of Durham to come up with an alternate solution in which if Clarington moves forward with the project, undertakes the tendering process and all of that, they would be willing to waive the securities portion of the work. So that was a huge hurdle and helps the existing businesses very much. The other part of the equation are there are some landowners out there that are either not willing because of timing, not willing to move forward with servicing, or because of monetary situation, aren't ready to move forward with servicing at this point in time. And under normal circumstances, the landowner group that would want to move the project forward would cover those costs and in some instances may look to the municipality to recover those costs over time as those lands come on board. Again, this was, and in this case, roughly it's amounts to about $580,000 for the lots that currently that we know that either have not responded to our requests or have answered no. So this is where we thought it might be advantageous to utilize our strategic economic development fund, similar to what we did on Lake Road, to help kind of kickstart the servicing. And we feel that, and in speaking to CBOT, there's lots of interest in the lands that are vacant out there, and once they're serviced, we're sure that the lands will be bought up and used and new businesses developed. So in saying that, we are recommending that the use of the Strategic Economic Development Fund be used to fund that. It would be an endeavor to collect as landowners come forward to request servicing or come forward with a site plan. As part of the site plan agreement, we would request the funds for that property be recovered at that time and then reimbursed to our strategic fund. That's within the first 10 years of the program, and then after that, we would go back to the original landowners and recover our money over year 10 to 20. At the same time, still, if somebody came forward, endeavor to collect that money and reimburse any of the businesses that put money into it. I think I've went through most of this stuff. The other part of the picture that Clarington was willing to come forward with is this section of Curtis Court was in our near-term pavement rehab program. So in order to assist the area businesses with some costs, we were able to move it to our current pavement rehab program so that restoration of the road which is something we were going to be doing anyways. We would cover those costs as part of our normal pavement rehab program. At the end of the day, the municipality and the landowners group would have to enter into an agreement that would deal with all of the cost-sharing arrangements and repayment options. And doing this, as opposed to the petition or some of the other means, would get shovels in the ground this year and have the servicing started this year. And as Fred had put it, it's fairly straightforward work. It's straight and should be able to be completed in fairly short order. So next step is we're here presenting the proposal to council for endorsement. The next step would be to complete the design for the balance of Curtis Court and then submit for approval and then tender later this summer. Depending on success of this project, you may see similar endeavors in the Seagus area once trunk services are extended there, which is expected to start later this year. And I think that's it.
Mr. Albright, thank you. Councillor Neal, you had your hand up.
Yeah, through the chair. I've got some concerns about how we're legally going to recover this money. So, and there's one sort of overarching legal problem here that I see, and that is the rule against positive covenants, so enforcing positive covenants against subsequent owners. So I'm wondering, Mr. Chair, if I guess I could refer it back to legal staff, but I'll be looking for a written opinion specifically on that issue. And I mean, the statement was made, in years 10 to 20, we'll go back to the original owners, but what if they've sold their property? Then you can't bind the subsequent owners to pay that back, essentially. So I'm sort of intimately familiar with this issue, having just basically lost a case on that exact problem. I'm sure the lawyers are well aware of the cases I'm talking about, but. So my question is there something specifically in the Municipal Act that would give municipalities the ability to enforce this against subsequent landowners in the form of some?
Okay, Mr. McIver, in public session, can you help us out?
I have no promise, Mr. Chair. I understand the concern about the unenforceability of positive covenants. There are some details that are yet to be hammered out in terms of the financing, the details of the financing arrangement. At this point, I think what's contemplated is that the benefiting owners would enter into an agreement. That agreement would require that a mortgage be registered against their lands. It'd essentially be an interest-free mortgage for the first 10 years. I don't want to get too into the weeds, Mr. Chair, but that's the basic idea at this point. It's my understanding, anyway.
Councillor Neal, you still have the floor.
Okay. But that may pose issues if they've got an existing mortgage on their property, because are we going to ask for a postponement from their existing mortgagee or something, or lender or whatever, because then that may raise other complications. But I didn't see anything addressing that. So I guess when the report's on the floor, I'm going to move for a written opinion from our legal staff on that. So I'd rather know that up front before we say yes to spending that money from the strategic capital, that ultimately it will come back. So that's all.
All right. Anything further for Mr. Albright? Councilor Hooper, did you have your hand up? Oh, good catch. Thank you. Didn't see that.
Well, I did. I was going to ask a question.
You sorted it.
Yeah, right. And I thought, well, maybe it's now is a good time to ask the question. Did we have this sort of situation when we did Lake Road, too, as well?
It was similar. It was one landowner, although they own both sides of the road. We entered into a legal agreement with them with terms of repayment spelled out in the agreement. It was not a mortgage, but it was an agreement that was registered on title on the property.
So essentially, we've already gone through.
We've already recovered our money. It's been, that was 2014. We entered that agreement, or 2013, we started the work. I think the agreement was finalized in 2014, and by the end of 2018, we recovered just over $500,000 that was part of that agreement to fund part of the road works for the developer.
And if I can further ask one question through the chair, is there, from the year 10 to, as Councillor Neal was alluding to, 20, is there people that are going to be caught in that sort of situation at that area too as well? I'm just trying to get fleshed
out. That's Lake Road is done. As far as the part where we entered into the agreement with the adjacent landowner, there is an older agreement that's a private agreement there's still some things involved there, but it's not our agreement.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Were we talking about approximately $1.5 million?
That is the cost of servicing, which the landowners will be required to provide us before any contract is awarded to a contractor. That money isn't coming out of the fund. The amount of the $1.5 million, $580, which represents the costs at this time for the non-participating lands. So there's roughly six properties that have not responded to our requests at this point. The cost of their share of the works is $580,000.
May I follow up question? Yeah. Say we weren't able to recover all of that money, would the benefits to the municipality outweigh the unrecoverable portion?
I'm sure that the business community and CBOT would suggest that that's the case. There'll be jobs created, but based on the way that we are going to structure the agreement, that money should be recovered by year 20. There should be no reason the money is not recovered.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Ward.
Thank you. Do you know how many vacant lots are in the mix here?
There are lots that don't actually have a building and a business. There is a storage facility there. Somebody's operating basically a landscape storage yard, which I consider vacant. There are seven lots that eight, but the eighth one has a site plan submission with us right now. So, and we've spoken to them. They were moving forward with a private septic and well system, and now they are on board. They didn't want to delay their site plan, but they are on board to participate in the municipal servicing agreement. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to thank the region, regional staff. From where we started this project to where we are now is about 180 degrees from where the initial, the start line was. So I would like to thank specifically Mike Hubble at the region and his senior staff for kind of working with us to come up with a creative solution to help this happen. So.
2 years ago, you would have knocked our socks off by making a statement like that. It is so nice to hear. Thank you. All righty, we'll move into the engineering services department portion of the meeting now.
Okay, so we have engineering service department. We have two items. EGD-009-19, servicing of industrial lands in South Curtis. And that's on page 49.
I'll give you a motion, Mr. Chair, to refer this to the next council meeting with legal staff to prepare a written opinion as to the enforceability of and mechanisms for recovering the money that we invest.
Do we have a seconder for that? Seconded by Councillor Trail. Any discussion?
If I could speak to that, I'm all for this. What I'm simply asking legal staff to do is detail how this is going to be structured so that they get around the problems posed by some case law from the Ontario Court of Appeal, which is Owens and Wright, and Supreme Court of Canada, which I think it's the Heritage case, which basically say that positive covenants against subsequent landowners aren't enforceable. So, you know, I don't want us to be out the money. And that, you know, as long as it comes back, and I don't know if it includes anything for interest in here, but that's all. So, like, I'm all for it as long as they're going to set out how we're going to ensure that we get the money back. And you can't bind a landowner with an obligation who didn't sign the original agreement. So that's even if it's registered on title. So, like I said, I've just spent. I spent 4 years fighting that battle up in Toronto and lost. So, and those are the cases that I lost on, the ones that is listed. So, you know, that's all. So if there's a mechanism, mortgages on title, great, you know, I'm happy with that. So as long as that's gonna actually happen. So
any Mayor Foster?
Thanks, Chair. So my decided preference here is to support this. I think we can still get a memo from some information from Mr. McIver between now and council. I think the intent, this is a phenomenal project. We've been talking at the region for years about getting servicing done. This is something that we can do now. I appreciate that the referral is just to council, but I think, you know, for the business owners that are here, some satisfaction that we are saying yes. Mr. McIver, there are a lot of details that need to be hammered out, but bottom line, if we can't be satisfied that we can get the money back, this will not go through, correct?
through the chair, it certainly would be our intention to recover that money, and we'd have to be satisfied with the arrangements to have it paid back. I think in a project like this, you know, my role is to has been to try to enable what has been proposed to be a creative alternative arrangement, and I'm working with the staff to enable that. But because it is creative, because it is unique, there are going to be some risks involved. There are going to be some unique aspects to it. And so what it will come down to is whether this council, in my view, whether this council is prepared to adopt those risks in furtherance of a project that they think
the payoff is outbalances those risks.
Okay, and thank you, Mr. Chair, to your comments. You know, your concerns, you know, we're creating jobs, hopefully attracting more jobs, hopefully attracting more business. So, Councillor Neal, I appreciate what you're doing with the referral, but I would like to send the message that we support business and that we're going to, as much as we're going to beat the region up in a good way to get stuff like this done, that we're prepared to do so as well.
Councillor Swartz.
I wonder if we can support in principle pending the legal opinion addressing Councillor Neal's concerns.
Through the chair, council can do that if they want to do that. I think without by council, I will not have a fully prepared financing agreement for available. I can by council, I could work with engineering staff, sit down with them, you know, sketch out the broad strokes of what we think would work. That's about as much as I could agree to provide by then. If that would give you, if that would give council enough in terms of conceptually what is going to be done to try to recover that debt, it would give you more information. It certainly would give you more information before you make a decision. Maybe you want to refer it, if I could make a suggestion, refer it to council. I'll come back with more information. You can consider it further at that time. If it's still not detailed enough, then you can make another referral.
Councilor Neal.
Well, you know, our lawyer mentioned risks. That's the whole point of this resolution is I'm not up for putting that money at risk. As long as there's a mechanism put in place that's enforceable, I will vote yes. If the memo is going to, or the opinion, or whatever you want to call it, is going to come back and saying we can't come up with an enforceable mechanism, then I won't support it. It's that simple. So I'm not sure why 2 weeks isn't enough time to deal with this issue. So, you know, if it's going to be the benefiting landowners are going to put a charge on their title, that's the end of it as far as I'm concerned. That's great. But if it's going to be some sort of agreement that's out there, I'm just saying the subsequent landowners will not be obligated to honor that agreement. And that's all. I'm sure the lawyers know what cases I'm talking about. And if they don't, I'll provide them with those citations today. But this has been, you know, dealt with in the Supreme Court of Canada. And all I'm saying is, I'm hoping the lawyer will say, well, we're going to deal with that by this mechanism, you know, whether it's a mortgage on title. But if the owners are going to say, no, we don't want that, we'll just sign an agreement, they could sell their land, okay, a year later, and the new owner will not be obligated to honor that agreement. It's that simple. So, and you can put it on title, it doesn't matter. Like a Section 71 agreement on title, it's not enforceable against the subsequent owners. So I'm sure Mr. Allison is well familiar with what I'm talking about. So if there's some mechanism to get around that, I'm all for it. So that's all. So, but to have, quote, you know, some risk involved here is something, again, I'm just speaking for myself, I would not be prepared to put our money at risk. We've got many other things that we need to do with this money. So, and I'm all for the landowners to get this land serviced. I was talking about it when Cliff Curtis was the Commissioner of Public Works, and he said at the time that there was no demand for it. So I'm really pleased to see this, but let's, you know, be prudent here and make sure this taxpayers' money, which is what it is, comes back at the end of the day. We're not in the business of handouts to landowners that I'm aware of. So we are in the business of economic development. That's what I want to do, but let's make sure that this money finds its way back to municipal coffers at the end. And I'm hopeful that council won't start to water down that. That's all. Thanks.
Mr. McCarroll, you care to come in further?
Through you, Mr. Chair, in 2 weeks I can have something that addresses the issue to the level of detail that Councillor Neal has just discussed.
Councillor Neal, is that satisfactory.
I'll ask for a recorded vote on that, please.
Councillor Hooper.
That was going to be my question. Is 2 weeks a sufficient amount, excuse me, 2 weeks a sufficient amount of time to get the information that through you to Mr. McIver, or would you need a little more time? So if we approve it in principle and then give you a little more time, or is 2 weeks going to be enough? So you've already answered the question, so, right?
Through the chair, yeah. I think I can answer the question in 2 weeks.
Thank you.
Mayor Foster.
Yeah, motion for a second time around?
Yes. All in favor? All in favor?
Thank you. So Mr. Chair, again, I will, I'll ask my colleagues. We're splitting hairs to a degree here, but this won't be ratified until council. We're hearing we'll have a memo at least from Mr. McIver. Let's give the business owners who have put up, there's about $1 million of their money that they're putting up here. Let's give them the satisfaction of at least an endorsement in principle, as opposed to a referral. And I've got to tell you, I'm not convinced that if we're going to hear from the solicitor that if we need to leave a couple of dollars on the table, we shouldn't do that. We've got on the report here a bunch of DC credits that we've given out, which is sort of kind of the same thing. So are we serious about servicing lands, creating jobs, and supporting the business community or not? So I'd ask committee, please vote down the referral. I think a motion. I think Councillor Schwartz got a great idea to endorse in principle, and come council before ratification, we'll have further information.
I would support endorsing this in principle as well. We have to send a message to the business community that we are for economic development, and any business, there's going to be an element of risk. So I guess we'll vote on Councillor Neal's motion. Is there any other questions? Councillor Trail.
Okay, well, I mean, I think it's unfair to paint our request for more information by council as being somehow against business. I mean, I was obviously one of the primary supporters of the deal with Lake Road, and Ward 3 is benefiting from this and growing, and I think it's a great step that we took. So I'm not quite sure why we're saying to endorse in principle. Councillor Neal in his comments indicated he was supportive of this as well. I think we're just being prudent as far as getting all the information and ensuring that we're going to get a return on our investment secured. So while I will support this motion, I also support the agreement in principle. I just think it's window dressing. At the end of the day, we're all on the same page when it comes to supporting this in principle. The motion is simply asking for that information from our solicitor prior to council. So it's six of one and half a dozen of the other. But I do want the record to reflect that I'm registering my position that I don't think it's fair to characterize this as somehow not sending a strong message to the business community when our comments have made that very clear.
So any further comments or questions? I believe Councillor Neal asked for a recorded vote.
So for the resolution moved by Councillor Neal, seconded by Councillor Trail, to refer report EGD-009-19 to the next council meeting of May 21st with a request for a legal opinion to be prepared regarding the enforcement of the recovery of costs, I believe was the wording.
Well, it was a written opinion, basically ensuring
to prepare a legal written opinion regarding
the mechanism for ensuring that the money will be repaid to the strategic capital reserve.
Okay, so Councillor Neal?
Yes.
Councillor Trail?
Yes.
Councillor Ward?
No.
Mayor Foster?
No.
Councillor Hooper?
No.
Councillor Jones?
Yes.
Councillor Anderson?
No.
Okay, there we go. So it is lost.
The motion is lost.
I think Councillor Jouart had a motion.
Councillor Swartz?
Okay, so that that we approve in principle pending a written legal opinion from our solicitor on the mechanism used to repay the funds to the municipality.
Is there, are you seconded?
Yes.
Seconded by Councillor Trail.
To the, sorry, just a quick comment. To the mover, could the terminology reflect, does that terminology accurately reflect the wording in Councillor Neal's motion? Okay, so I'd like to make a friendly amendment that the wording be adjusted to reflect what was sought in Councillor Neal's motion, if that's agreeable with the mover. Thank you.
Sorry, through the chair, for that second part of the
correct
legal opinion. Okay.
Can I have the exact wording now, please?
I'll refer to the...
So the first part of the motion is that we accept in principle, and I'll leave the second part of the motion to Councillor Neal.
Well, the staff provide a written opinion as to the mechanism to be employed to ensure the money is repaid to the municipality.
Recorded vote too, please.
Any questions or comments on that? Councillor Neal.
Well, through the chair to our CAO, are you familiar with the cases that I've just mentioned?
Yes, I am, but I'm also familiar with a lot of jurisprudence under the Planning Act, which allows you to put positive covenants against, effectively against properties, and you do it by way of imposing conditions when they come forward with development, their endeavors to collect. And so that's enforceable in the second time frame. And I don't want to go too far with this because I haven't actually been involved in the details of the discussions, but you can secure payment through an endeavor to collect. It is enforceable through the Planning Act process. And then if you're looking at the second planning or second horizon of years 10 through 20, that's a different mechanism that I'll let Mr. McIver comment on. We've talked about it, but only at a very conceptual level as to how to paper that up.
Mr. McIver, are you prepared to comment further?
Through the chair, no, I don't have any other comments. I'll report back with some advice, and council can take that under advisement.
Any Councillor Neal?
So, I'm going to introduce another amendment, and that is that the final agreements be subject to council approval.
Second.
For discussion, I'll second.
Okay, seconded by Councillor Trail. Any...
If I could speak to that, Mr. Chair. So, the again, I guess I'm not sure why any member of council would disagree with that. If the final documentation, okay, looks solid, then I've got no issue whatsoever, okay? But if it's, you know, sort of on a hope and a prayer that the money will come back from, again, we're talking about money from owners that have ignored this whole program. So, so we're putting up the money on behalf of basically owners that are doing nothing to further this, and they may in the future benefit. So as long as, whatever they get as by way of benefit is paid back either by them or by the owners that are getting or co-partnering on this now, great, you know, and, you know, but if it's going to come back saying, you know, the agreements, here's the final set of agreements, and here's the gaps in it, you know, I would vote no, that's all. So, that's all. And again, this is trust money we're dealing with here, okay? So this is not like, in my mind, and I always thought that you couldn't you know, sort of provide a bonus to certain landowners here. So, and if it's servicing, again, the region could have come to the table, but I totally support us coming to the table now. All I'm asking is, let's make sure we get the money back, because, you know, we won't be sitting here, but somebody else may be, and in 10 years or so, or maybe some of us will be, I don't know. But I think we owe it to any future council to say, you know what, we did our due diligence, we got this money back, and it's a win-win situation, that's all. So, thanks.
Any Mayor Foster?
Well, I'm sure the, you know, the amendment to this isn't meant to be disrespectful, but, you know, if we're asking staff for advice, and staff are giving advice, and they say that, you know, this instrument is going to do A, we should be believing staff. This is what we pay staff for. This is their expertise. It's not mine. It's not, we've got two lawyers in council. But we've asked staff very clearly to come back with advice on, you know, how we would recover this, and if there's a risk. I'm not going to second guess staff by requiring that I see an agreement before it moves forward. We can go an awful long way down the road in terms of starting to ask staff for all kinds of agreements. But while I'm sure it's not meant to be disrespectful, we've given very specific instruction, and we're going to get advice that I, for one, am willing to accept.
Councilor Neal.
Well, you know, this.
Oh, we need a second time around, so we need.
It's my amendment.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, we.
Is everybody else finished? Yes.
You know,
okay.
If you just look at our own agenda, we approve things like removing holding symbols. Okay? This is a significant agreement. So suggest that it's disrespectful for a council to approve a final agreement, I think is so ridiculous to put that out there. Okay? I'm just trying to do my due diligence here. You know, we deal with run-of-the-mill stuff constantly that's on council agendas, and I question why it's here. But something like this, where there's a significant amount of money that taxpayers should not be out the money, and we've got lots of uses for it, suggests that, you know, that it's disrespectful to staff that we ask them to bring back the final agreement. I actually think it's required. Like, where is it delegated that staff can sign something like that? I don't know of such a delegation that I've ever approved. So. I think it's required, but I'm just trying to make sure that it doesn't get signed without our approval. So, you know, like, let's talk about some of the totally mundane things we approve on our agendas from time to time, and versus something like this, which I think is more important. And people will be lining up at the technology park or places like that for the same thing. So let's get it right, is what I'm asking. So.
Record a vote on the amendment, please.
Mr. Chair.
Councillor Hooper.
Can somebody please read back what we're voting on?
Through the chair, you're voting on the amendment, which is Councillor Neal's amendment, that the final agreements be subject to council approval. So that's the amendment to Councillor Schwartz's resolution.
Councillor Hooper.
Further question to that, well, if it comes back with appropriate advice, we will have that say anyway, correct? Whether we support it or not. So I'm a little confused as to why we're, you know, putting this forward. And if inappropriate, like the advice comes back saying that it's not a good opportunity for us to recover our funds, then, you know, the deal will be done. We won't support it. I don't, to my way of thinking.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I just wanted to indicate, as appreciative as I am of deference to staff where it's appropriate, I want to confirm this is a non-routine agreement. I personally don't take any umbrage at the thought that council would want to get to the level of comfort they need to be before they approve it. It's absolutely no problem from my point of view if, you know, you want to see more details right up to and including a final agreement. I won't have an agreement in 2 weeks, but in 2 weeks you'll know whether you're comfortable or not with what's available at that time.
Thank you.
And Councilor Neal.
Okay, so just to Councilor Hooper's point, just and to our lawyers, he comes up with a memo that says, here's how I think it can be structured, and we say, great. But if in the end the landowners push back and say, well, we're not prepared to, for example, put a charge on our land, we're not going to do that. What I don't want to have happen is, oh, your agreement got signed during the summer recess, and here it is, and by the way, we didn't include anything about, you know, that. That's all. So that's what this is trying to avoid, is saying, you know, this can't happen, for example, during the summer recess, and, you know, there was a material change, but that's all. Like, again, as our lawyer said, this is a non-routine type of agreement that, you know, unfortunately, I happen to have some bitter experience with this issue, so.
Anything further? And a recorded vote was called for.
So on the amendment moved by Councillor Neal, seconded by Councillor Traill, that the final agreements be subject to council approval. Councillor Traill?
Yes.
Councillor Ward?
Yes.
Mayor Foster?
No.
Councillor Hooper?
Yeah.
Sorry?
Yes.
Councillor Jones?
Yes.
Councillor Neal?
Yes.
Councillor Anderson?
Yes.
So that's passed. So that's passed. That's the amendment.
That's the
so now we go to the main motion as amended.
Okay. So that's passed. So we now go to the main motion as amended. That's Councillor Swart's motion, correct?
Yes.
Any?
Can we just read that back too as well?
Can you please?
Sure. And I'm actually going to use visuals here. So moved by Councillor Ward, seconded by Councillor Traill, to approve the recommendations contained in report EGD-009, which I put up there, in principle, pending a written legal opinion from the municipal solicitor regarding the mechanism to be employed to ensure that the money will be repaid to the Strategic Capital Reserve.
And
the amendment would just end that the final agreements be subject to council approval. It's all wrapped up now that you're voting on.
Not recorded.
It is to be recorded.
Recorded vote.
Okay, Councillor Neal has called for recorded vote.
Councillor Traill
Councillor Traill, okay, thanks.
So I'll begin. Okay, so Councillor Traill?
Yes.
Councillor Ward?
Yes.
Mayor Foster?
Yes.
Councillor Hooper?
Yes.
Councillor Jones?
Yes.
Councillor Neal?
Yes.
Councillor Anderson?
Yes.
It's unanimous.
Unanimous, that's passed.
So the next.
Okay, so the next item on the agenda is EGD-01-3-19, proposed amendment to bylaw 2014-059, being a bylaw to regulate traffic and parking on highways, private property, and municipal property. Moved by Councillor Neal, seconded by Councillor Jones. Councillor Neal.
Well, the only way I can describe for this, it's a mouthful. So, you know, I had to be honest with you, I had to give up after about 50 pages. But I guess, how do we go through the some of the specifics on this? Because I do have some questions, but like I just noted, for example, like, Cedar Crest Beach, you can't stop there anymore. Like, so what I did on Saturday would wouldn't be permitted anymore. You know, stop, get out, take a look. Where would I go? I don't know. Would I have to park on Cove Road? But then I don't know. It's so dip. So I guess I'm facing a level of detail that I feel there's a lot in here that I should know, but I'm sort of overwhelmed by the details. The other thing I would note